Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Did you see Edwin Diaz had to be wheelchaired off the field yesterday?
His brother was crying as he left the field. Diaz, after Puerto Rico won, the players all ran out, and they were jumping up and down, like in a, you know, they got in a circle and they were jumping up and down, and I couldn't see to right now. I can't see what happened to him. I don't think he stepped on a foot or anything. I think the knee just gave out on him. I think
look
it's
at
a
his
knee.
Brother's crying here.
Oh, I know. Gosh. Yeah, his brother's crying coming off the field. Diaz goes down, then he tries to walk it off, and it doesn't work. They're carrying him, and eventually he leaves the. He leaves the field in a wheelchair. I mean, when he's walking, did you see his foot turn all the way to the right? He's trying to walk off, and the foot's not even really working.
There's guys with their hands. They're going down to their knees. And
they're devastated.
They're devastated.
They're devastated because they know that this could be a serious injury that costs him a lot of time this year.
Yeah. No. He's probably done for – I'm not going
to – I don't know. We'll see. I just know this. The curse of the Astros strikes again. Does that make sense to you?
What the Met? He plays for the Mets.
Who signed with the Mets this year?
Oh, Verlander.
When you leave the Astros, get ready because it's not going to go well for you in one way or another. There's no more Timmy Trumpet or whatever, Timmy Trombone. Sorry, Verlander. You left the Astros. Get ready for bad luck. That's how it works. Anybody who leaves the Astros, get ready to not make the playoffs and get ready for bad luck. Or get beat by the Astros in the playoffs. That's how it works.
Well, so I'm watching it, and it looked like guys jumping on him, jumping up and down with him, and then all of a sudden
he just crumbles to the ground.
Yeah, he just went down.
He just crumbles to the ground, and you see immediately they're like,
they're all like, get here.
Get in here. Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, my gosh.
It's bad. And when you walk him, when you watch him walk off the field, they're going to carry him, then he goes, no, I'm fine. Then when he starts walking, it gets worse and worse and worse. Eventually, they have to get him into a wheelchair. So Edwin Diaz looks like he's got a pretty severe injury.
Yeah. This is the
closer
huge
for the Mets.
Altuve almost gets hit in the face in this deal. Mm-hmm. And you lose Edwin Diaz. I mean, and you lose guys during this thing, and you're probably going, what the bleep are we doing? What are we doing? I mean, come on, Major League Baseball.
But it's World Cup. What do you want? I mean, it's World Cup of baseball. They're not going to not do it.
Well, I mean, no, it's a recent addition.
That was a freak. I mean, that was a freak. Yeah, but that was a freak accident. And Jose Altuve didn't get hit in the face.
No, but he almost did by his teammate.
Does he have the face guard?
No.
I know. Wear the face guard, Jose.
No, I don't care. Somebody did get hit in the face the other day and went down. He said he was happy he had all his chiclets. You remember who said that the other day?
Oh, one of the pitcher who got hit?
No. Somebody got hit in the face.
I remember somebody got hit by a line drive, I thought.
No, somebody got hit in the face on a pit with a pitch. Anyway, it's like, what are we doing? I mean, listen, there for years, the NBA didn't participate in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. For years, the NHL didn't participate in the Olympics. There's no reason. I mean, we could do a World Baseball Classic without major leaguers. I mean, it's not going to be as good.
Right.
But if you get injured... I'm sure Steve Cohen is probably going, oh, really? I just gave this guy the richest reliever deal ever, and he can't walk?
Yeah.
He didn't pitch a pitch?
Well, I mean, it's just bad luck. He was jumping up and down, and it just gave out. Like, what are you going to do? That's not – you can't – every time
you know
that
where he
would have
been jumping up and down? In spring training.
But you know what? This gets to the point where we say, well, you can't play anywhere. You know, you can't play your senior year because what if your junior year of college football, because what if you get hurt? I mean, if we keep leaning into all this, like, catastrophizing, what's the worst-case scenario? Let's assume the worst-case scenario is going to happen. Then you get paralyzed with fear. You can't do anything.
That's not
this
it.
This just
That's
happens.
Not it. Why do we take out players, the starters, in the fourth quarter of a blowout?
We don't.
You
most
risk
of the time.
Injury. You're going to risk injury.
Yeah, but they usually don't. That's the problem.
But no,
they don't.
A lot of teams. You absolutely do. You take starters out.
Quarterbacks
of games
rarely get taken out.
Well, you don't throw the ball anymore.
Yeah,
hands
that's
off.
True.
So, but if a guy gets hurt, how many times have we seen you're an idiot coach? What was he still doing in the game? You can't be dumber. He got hurt.
How many
in
instances?
Garbage time.
But you're like I said, you're taking the worst case scenario. How many games have been played? How many innings have been played? And tell me all the injuries. It's just bad luck. It happens. It could have happened in any celebration. It could have happened with him jumping up and down, dancing in the locker room. It could have happened. We can't take one incident in World Baseball Classic where how many innings, thousands of innings have been played and say, uh-oh, this is we got to stop doing this. They don't do it for World Cup. Nobody gets taken at, like, no one doesn't go to World Cup because they're worried about an ACL tear. Or an ankle injury or a concussion.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
we can't
is the World Baseball Classic, which is a recent phenomenon, by the way. It's not like we've been playing the World, that major leaguers have been playing the World Baseball Classic forever. This is a recent deal.
Look how important it is to them.
It really is. It is.
For Latin American countries, it's extraordinarily important. Because you got to remember, those Latin American countries that are big in baseball are not big in soccer. This is their only World Cup. Now, it happens every year. It's not every 4 years. But...
No, World Baseball Classic doesn't happen.
Yeah,
No, that's right. No.
So they want to go. I mean, they want to play. They don't have World Cup, so this is their World Cup.
Yeah, I get it. If I'm Steve Cohen, I'm like, what the bleep?
Oh, no, you're super bummed out. But these things will just happen. It could happen in a pickup game in basketball. A guy could tear a knee, but it doesn't happen. It rarely happens. We can't live our life in fear of every catastrophe. That's why kids don't – we can't let kids play outside anymore. We can't do this. Everybody's been so coddled. You know, it's just bad luck. It happens sometimes.
713-780-3776.
I can't fly in a plane because it could crash. Well, take your Xanax.
Yeah.
It probably won't.
Well, it could, though. It absolutely could.
Then never fly again.
Would you crash if you weren't in a plane? Would you have been in a plane
would
crash
you get
if you
there
weren't
in,
ever
would
in
you
a plane?
Get there in 2 hours? No.
Right.
Show me the drive where you get somewhere and
take more
where you
time,
get to
get
New Orleans
safely,
and get to New Orleans there. So you're not safer on I-10. You've been on I-10 headed east. That's not safer. There's more crashes on the roadways than in airplanes. It's constantly people injured on
I-10. Don't
drive
anywhere then either.
Driving is not.
Don't,
I know. So
don't
what
drive
do you
anywhere.
Do?
Okay.
How do you get there? You don't. We just stay inside. You don't go. How can you go drinking if somebody could hit you? Somebody could have an aneurysm. Or a heart attack and swerve into your lane and hit you and kill you. Better not go out.
That's right.
That's happened before.
Don't go out.
What are you going to do in your house? What if you get hit by a sinkhole?
In your house?
Yeah.
Well,
houses get swallowed by sinkholes.
They do. They absolutely
so
do.
So where are you going to be now? To protect
maybe
yourself.
Maybe live on a mountain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
God forbid the lightning starts hitting.
Well... Then you know what? Stay inside.
Mountain living. You're right. That's going to have to be off-the-grid mountain living. Now we're finally safe from World Baseball Classic injuries.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Train wrecks and car wrecks. And
let's stay
you
safe
You live by a
there.
Train. Are you going to move now that
I'm
you live by a train?
I'm worried about the derailing. Yeah. After all the derail.
You're going to move?
No, but I'm gonna be safe.
You're not safe if you're staying next to a train.
I'm probably going to sleep upstairs from now on because it'll come and hit the bottom.
Good point.
And maybe it'll cushion the blow of
falling down.
Unless
it knocks
down.
Out all the structure in your house.
And then the house
collapses.
Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's better than getting hit by the train downstairs.
But you're probably safest in your garage because that's further away. It's got.
No, it's actually not. It's
you don't
not,
think so?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm over. Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, it probably is a little bit. Maybe I should sleep in the garage.
Maybe you should. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, we're getting safer and safer by the minute.
I'm just telling you, Steve Cohen is nuts today.
Well, he's got to be pissed.
He is pissed.
Well, he's got to be sad for Edwin Diaz because I haven't heard the news, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Edwin Diaz is out for the year. Now, in my estimation, based on my human eyes of watching him walk.
Well, yeah, you were.
I've had foot injuries
you
before.
You were, you know, like 6,000-7,000 miles away, but you saw it with your video.
Oh, I've walked like that before. Yeah. When I had my Liz Frank in my right foot.
How many seasons have you missed lately? You missed a bunch of seasons lately.
I missed 2 months with that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's a 2-month injury for him. My doctor had to say, hey, why are you still in your boot? Your foot is atrophying. You got to get out of that. I'm like, yeah, but it hurts when I walk. Yeah. You're just going to have to work through the discomfort because it's now, you got to break up the scar tissue. Well, I can't walk. No, the boot's more comfortable now. Yeah, I know, because your foot is now atrophied. You got to get out and walk. Well, this doesn't, but it hurts. I know.
Oh, well, chicken live with it, Edwin. Live with
chicken
it.
Chicken and egg.
Let's go,
get
Edwin.
Out there and start
get
closing
out there and
games,
start throwing,
Edwin. I did it. I played through it eventually.
Don't be a wuss. You know what you need? You know what Edwin needs?
QC Kinetics?
Yeah, damn right.
This is perfect. You know what? I don't know what. I don't know if it's a joint issue, but for some people who have had an injury, a severe injury in their past, or some people have just had wear and tear, or it could just be issues that happen just through normal genetics. A lot of people will have issues just genetic. You know, I found out that bone-on-bone issues with knees sometimes is just a genetic thing. It's not even through wear and tear for some people. So it can be different for different people, but I don't really care how it happened to you. I just care that you live with chronic pain. And most people treat chronic pain, or people have in the past, with shots, give you temporary relief, and then you get the, you know, drug medicine. You get drugs to help you with pain management. God forbid, you know what happens with that sometimes. And then, of course, you got to get surgeries, and there's downtime. And how about using regenerative restorative medicine? That process is red hot right now because people realize there's a better way. The alternative to all the old methodology is regenerative medicine. And regenerative process is letting the body's healing power take care of what's ailing you can make a big difference in reducing your pain without surgeries, drugs, downtime, shots. That's the difference with QC Kinetics. Locations are here in Houston. They got a brand new one opening up in Sugar Land, and they're expanding coverage in their other areas as well. Go to QCKinetics.com. That's QCKinetics.com, or call 713-913-5285.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Watching two little chihuahuas. Human doing... Oh, I can't say what this
John, is. John has more... John's timeline on Twitter is lit. Is so many videos
Clown
of crazy
world.
Stuff. John goes, you follow Clown World? I'm like, yeah, I think I follow Clown World because you showed me something on Clown World. Ooh, I got to follow this one. Vids that go hard.
Well, human doing S-H-I one.
Yeah.
S-H-I, you know.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
is... Yeah. Is two dogs. One of them's humping a stuffed bear of some kind, and the other one's watching, doing like he's Deshaun on a massage table.
My dog Penny,
okay.
She is one of my dogs. She is. We found her in the backyard. I think she had been abused, and we ended up taking her in. And she is a black Chihuahua, and she will do that to my dog Splits's face, and it's the worst thing I've ever seen.
What does Madi say about this?
She is not a fan.
By the way, you got a Madi story here.
I got in a lot of trouble.
What'd you do?
Madi. I really should have my wife have Madi call in. So here's what happened. I was driving somewhere on Sunday. I was driving with the whole family in the car. I was in an area that is known for speed traps, but I didn't know I was in the speed trap. But I was in the speed trap, and sure enough, on cue, I'm going, you know, 76-ish. It's on I-10.
60?
It's on I-10.
I'm like, 76 in a what?
Well, maybe 78.
Well,
I'll get to that in a second. I'm going 78. I'm actually on
cruise?
59. I'm on 59 headed south. I'm 59
Where?
Headed south.
What? 59 south and what?
59 south, outside past Kingwood.
so it's you're heading south.
Yeah, and I'm heading back into town. I'm like, well, this is, you know, I'm just driving basically the speed of traffic, I guess. And I guess I get to a little town, like a so-called town. And
a so-called
all of a sudden, I'm driving, and then, boom, the lights come on.
Coming the other way.
I'm like, it's unmistakable. I know it's me. I know I'm speeding. I don't know what the... Now, I have Waze on, right? So my Waze typically
didn't
will show
tell
me...
tell you?
It'll tell me that... It didn't tell me there was a cop because he was hitting me. He wasn't stationary. He was hitting me on the gun when he was driving through. But then my wife kept going. She said, where are we? Do you know where we are? And I didn't know the name. It's like Garrison or something. And she goes, this is the place that's supposedly the speed trap. What's the name? And I said, I don't know. And we looked at the little ticket. Sure enough, it was the speed trap that April told us about. But regardless, here's the story. I'm going, boom, I get the gun. I get pulled over. I'm like, damn it. Lights come on. I immediately pull over. The officer comes. I get my driver's license out. I'm ready to go. Now, we've got one dog in the car and the whole family. And the officer comes to my wife's side of the car. The dog, Splits, is not having it. He, you know, he's like a most little dogs. He's territorial. And he's barking, going crazy. We're trying to keep him quiet. Officer looks in the car, sees my family, sees the little dog, whatever. He goes, I stopped you because you're going 78 and a 55. I'm like,
oh.
I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't even see what the speed limit was. I didn't realize how fast I was going. So I give him my driver's license. I start on my phone. I've got my, you know, insurance card on my phone. So I start to pull it up. He goes, hold on a second. So he goes back in the back. He's going to check to see if there's warrants or whatever the case may be. And
comes back and arrests you.
It takes him a while. I'm always thinking, is there anything that I could be? Like, I know I didn't go to jury duty the last two times. Would they arrest me for that? I'm always thinking, do I have any parking tickets? Like, there's not going to be any surprise arrests here, are there? So anyway, he comes back. He goes, look, I'm going to give you a warning this
Crafts
time.
Knife.
I couldn't believe I don't think I would have got, if I didn't have the dog and the family there and the kids and, you know, the little girl and I don't think I would have got a warning. I would have definitely got a ticket. But he said, you know, I'll just give you a warning this time. But you need to slow it down. Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. Blah, blah, blah. As soon as I get on the car, and she's always, my daughter is, you know, it used to be funny to me. She is going to be the most nagging wife in the history of the world. It's not even going to be close. We're getting into it with her now. She's a last word freak. So she's got to have the last word with everybody at every time. She just can't. Yesterday, I tried to make her. I said, we're going to learn for you not to say, Sebastian, it's okay for him to have his opinion that this video is clickbait. You don't think it's clickbait. So, Sebastian, say what you're going to say. Monty, this time, you don't say anything. Just let him say it. Let him have his own opinion. So he goes, I believe this video is clickbait. They want you to see all, because my daughter's watching reorganizing. She's watching organizing videos for kitchen shelves for like hours of organizing videos on YouTube. She's 12 and she's watching hours of organizing videos and she's messy. Like, I don't even understand what this even is. And she just said she loves watching organizing videos because kids now, this is what they do, unboxing videos. And so she's watching this, and I'll get to the other thing in a second. And Sebastian goes, I believe this is clickbait. You just see organizing all this food that you want to have, and it's full, you know, it's full cans and tins of food. And so they want you to click on it because you see all this food that you like and watch it. And I said, okay, Madi, that's – and she goes, no, it's not. It's not a clickbait video. I said, Madi, this is his opinion. Let him have his opinion and don't get the last word. Let's do it again. Sebastian, she couldn't do it. Eventually, she had to go to her room. She freaked out. She's like, it's just not. I hate when he says this. Like, you have to let him have his own opinion.
Okay.
So anyway, so this is what I'm dealing with. This is who she's going to be for the rest of her life. She always, in the car, she's always looking and telling my speed to where I can't even have Waze up. So as soon as we get back on the car, she goes, I just want you to know that if I am a police officer, if I ever grow up to be a police officer, I'm going to follow you around and give you tickets as much as I can so that you have to learn your lesson. I said, so you're going to follow me and give me tickets. She goes, yes, I will continue to give you tickets. If it is 55 and you go 56, I will pull you over and give you a ticket. I will give you so many tickets until you can't drive anymore. I said, so you're going to literally target me intentionally. Well, that's harassment. It's not harassment if you're breaking the law. So she tells me this, and I'm like, and it's not even funny to me because And just, and so then I'm driving. All of a sudden, I hear this. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And I look over, and sure enough, the speed limit is 65, and I'm going 68. And it says on there on Waze, it says 65, 68. Oh, no. Actually, I was going 70. I was going 70 and 65. Oh, boy. Wonder what's happening now is what she's saying in the back, and I already know what it's going to be like. I said, here, let me slow down for you. And if, now my wife goes, well, she's right. You are going too fast. And now I'm
that's
like,
not true. Five over. It says speed limit, but it's eight over is acceptable
and goes,
behavior.
And then she goes like this. It
actually,
is?
Actually, nine or, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I, well, in my opinion,
yeah,
it
no,
is.
No, 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 it is. A cop probably won't stop you at nine over. No. Not eight, nine over. If you get to 11, now you're all of a sudden you're in trouble.
Well, I got news for you. If Mariana Zerline
well,
is
I'm
the
not
cop,
driving
you are
with her ever. Guess what?
If she starts targeting you, she's going to be like a movie where she's hot down the street from you, and you're like, Officer Zerline, you must stop doing this.
Put her in my car with me, and we'll see how it works out for her.
It will okay? be terrible. No, we'll see how it works out for you.
No, 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 no. She will get out of there and say, oh, Mr. Granato is the worst person, the worst driver ever, ever, ever.
She is a backseat driver like you've never seen, and she does this. Like, when I'm driving, it can say 35. I'm driving around mountains. I could be mountain driving if I'm going 37. Her mom's already bad enough. She can't mountain drive. It's wet palms. Madi is just the worst. And now she's yelling at me all the time. Just because it's speed limit doesn't mean you have to go that fast. I said, Madi, I'm going 66 and a 65. She goes, you don't even have to go 65. That's the limit of how fast you can go. It doesn't mean you can't go 55, which is safer for your children.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I would have to. You
it's
know what?
Not, you know, it's
you know
funny
what?
When
she's
it's 8, 9.
Get, she's got to get turned around. She needs a seat. You know what? You need a limo that has a seat that faces the back.
So she can't see.
So she can't see.
Oh, no, I've had to go.
That's like, what you need.
So I immediately,
because otherwise,
she did that,
if she was in my car.
I put it on Pandora. So now I got the music on there, and she can't. So I don't, and my wife was right. I'm on 59. I don't need my directions. I don't need my, why do I even have Waze on? So now she can't see what I'm seeing. So what did she do? She goes, yeah, so you put Pandora on so I can't see the speed limit. I can't see the speed. You do know, Dad, that I can look over your shoulder and I can see how fast you're going. And I said, good. You don't see what the speed limit is. Yes, I'll just look for signs. So I'm still going to know if you're speeding. I'll be looking for signs and I'll be looking over your shoulder at speed limit. So then I move forward. I lean forward where she couldn't see the speed limit. She goes, well, this has now just got even more unsafe. You're driving very unsafely. You're leaning forward. And then finally my wife goes, Madi, just leave your dad alone.
Thank you. What if she wanted to drive with Jalen Carter? That's the question. Okay. Oh, you, will you let your daughter drive with Jalen Carter? We'll talk about Jalen Carter on the other side right here on ESPN.
Oh, boy. It got worse.
Oh,
no. Carter.
We got Paul Biancardi on the other side. We got Paul Biancardi. We're going to talk college basketball. We're going to talk about the tournament. But first, we're going to talk about the Houston Powder Coaters. This place is unbelievable, people. I'm telling you. Robin was out at the golf tournament. I've been to the place. I've been to Houston Powder Coaters. It is an unbelievable how they do it, how good they are, how they primp and prep, and how if your metal looks shungat, it's something that you want to keep. It was in the family for years, or it doesn't matter if it was lawn furniture or if it was car parts or whatever metal it is. There was a woman who had these metal frogs in her backyard that represented all of her grandchildren, and they were all – it was terrible. She took it to Houston Powder Coaters, and they made it look, and it just looks fantastic. And she's got this throughout her backyard. There's all kinds of keepsakes that you want that are metal that need recoating. You've got hundreds of colors in stock. They can make a color for you. It's unbelievable what they can do. And after you get it back, Houston Powder Coaters, you're going to go, wow. It looks like it's brand new, yet it is in your family. And listen, if you've ever priced patio furniture, good patio furniture, not the Target stuff and that stuff, Walmart stuff, good patio furniture, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go to Houston Powder Coaters because it's going to be a lot cheaper than replacing your outdoor furniture. You're looking for the best way to recoat and to keep stuff that you want. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, how much are you paying for your homeowner's insurance? My guess is that you don't know. Even if you pay it, you're probably not going to know what it is. And there's some of you who already paid in advance because you get some kind of discount with it, and that's great. I mean, I would recommend that if you can afford to pay in advance, kind of a high-ticket item. But if you can do it, that's great. But I got to tell you something. You can shop homeowner's insurance right now, even if you've signed up through another company. Text the word money to 232323. And within 15 seconds, they're going to give you a competitive rate on your homeowner's insurance. What they do is they shop multiple A-rated companies for you. They handle that heavy lifting, and then they get that rate to you within 15 seconds. So within 15 seconds, you could be comparing what you just paid with TGS insurance. And guess what? With homeowner's insurance, you can switch out of it anytime you want with no penalty. Same thing with car insurance, by the way. You can switch out. So even if you just signed up, you can cancel with your company, go with who TGS finds for you, save that money, and then they will send you your prorated check back for the amount that has not been used. So you can make that switch today and get your coverage and make it an A-rated coverage with a competitive rate with TGSinsurance.com.
Foot on the gas, I'm just trying to pass all the red lights and the stop signs. I'm ready to go before I get to the
Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. But we're talking right now with Paul Biancardi, recruiting director for ESPN, college basketball, and NBA draft analyst at Paul Biancardi on Twitter. Paul, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you guys for having me so much. Really appreciate you.
I don't know if you've seen, we're getting a little worried over here because the Rockets have won a couple of games in a row. They still got a nice little cushion to get the 14% along with a couple of other teams. But let me ask you a question. I know Brandon Miller is really nice, but what's the gap between Victor and Scoot to the rest of this NBA draft right now?
I think it's tight. I mean, of course, you know, Brandon's got to go through some questioning on his situation. I think that's going to loom large. You know, it's on the back burner right now, but you know, when interview time comes, the NBA is as thorough as anyone, any organization, when it comes to asking questions about, you know, his involvement, his intent, who he was friends with. All those things are going to come down. But I think when you're looking at two players of that magnitude, in terms of talent, I think Brandon Miller is in front of Scoot Henderson only because he brings everything to the NBA that the NBA wants. I mean, I've been on the phone with GMs and scouts over the last month, and when they go back to, you know, what the league is about, it's the 6'9 wing with the versatility to score through passing, driving, post-ups, in all different situations, and then defend with the length and rebound. And he does, guys. He checks so many boxes.
Absolutely. So you're saying this is three deep. Where do we say, I've seen Jairus Walker up there. Jairus is interesting. He's got that NBA prototype body, but you know, and we've talked to Kelvin Sampson about him too, is that he's like, he just does anything to win. He's not worried at all about his stats. But do you think NBA teams are going to be worried about Jairus Walker's stats?
I don't know so much about the stats. They look at stats, but they don't live off of stats. Now, I got to tell you, I saw Jairus Walker since he was a freshman in high school, and all he did was improve slowly, incrementally, and then all of a sudden, going into his senior year, that's when it really took off for him. I mean, he was at the point where his body did, you know, a 360, is everything just went up another level. Scoring, rebounding, conditioning, and he dominated the high school game where he was, you know, top 10 player in the class. He was always a top 20, 30 player in terms of talent and productivity. And then after that, it just blossomed. He's going to fit in the NBA. He's got to fit with the three ball a little bit more. Obviously, his three-point shooting is we just see flashes of it. I know he can shoot it. What he does that NBA scouts love, that I love, is he can pass the ball. I don't know how much mm-hmm. you guys feel mm-hmm. that he can pass, but he's a very good top of the key. He could be a dribble handoff guy where the, you know, they run a lot of what they call zoom action, where one guy sets a pin down, the next guy's coming behind him with a dribble handoff. I think Walker can be outstanding at that, separate, shoot a shot. He's a good driver. So I think he's a guy who absolutely fits inside the top 10, in my opinion.
Paul Biancardi, recruiting director for ESPN, college basketball and NBA draft analyst. Give us some names in the tournament, maybe guys that are a little under the radar right now, some guys in the tournament that we need to be watching for, and, hey, this guy is really good. Maybe you should think about this team in your bracket.
Well, good players and good teams sometimes are different in the NCAA tournament, right? But I'll give you a couple of names that I really love, and I love them. I've been monitoring since high school, but I love Turquavion Smith at NC State. He could be the best shooter in the NCAA tournament, guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing Creighton, and they're an 11 seed. Creighton's a 6 seed, but this kid has logo range. I mean, and he's deep. He's quick with the release. He's unafraid. He's got the green light. And NC State comes in, you know, with three really good guards. And the reason they're better this year is because they have two other guys to help them. And that's a guy that you really want to glue your eyes to the TV to. The other guy I really like is Jalen Hood-Schifino, the freshman at Indiana. You know, he came in highly touted, and he's played to that level. And I think he's been a big spark for the Hoosiers. Really has.
Why doesn't Zach Edey get more love?
Man, I was just gonna ask about him. And I know Zach the reason Edey. It's defensive. I know it's defensive oriented, but man, I mean, if you could just take him and put him back in the 90s, he would be perfect then. But he's talented though, isn't he, Paul? I mean, he's a guy who does have some talent.
Let me give you some history. First of all, you know, he was at IMG Academy. And didn't play much, and then played on some of their – they have multiple teams. So he played on some different teams to get some playing time, not so much with their national team. And he came out of high school, you know, 7'1", 7'2", a lot thinner, still working on his coordination, still working on his hands, still working on his change of direction. But, guys, I mean, give Matt Painter and his staff so much credit in developing him as he grew, you know, up to 7'4" now. He can come out of high school 7'3". So he didn't get a lot of playing time in high school. He wasn't that much of a dominating factor, and now he's the most dominating factor in college basketball. You have to game plan. When you play Purdue, you got to game plan him first and everyone else second. His work ethic has been through the roof. Purdue's ability to develop bigs has been sensational. They surrounded him with a great team, and also they surrounded him with a plan. You know, they have shooters. Their offense is geared towards him. You know, everything goes through Zach Edey. He's done his part. The players have done theirs. Now, when you mention Purdue for a second, guys, when I look at the one seed, if I had to pick one seed to leave the tournament early, exit early, I'm picking Purdue. And wow. The reason being is I know they've had a great year. Their freshman guards concern me. I've been in the NCAA tournament 5 times. And when you have freshman guards, you know, it's a big stage for them. And their freshman guards were fantastic all season long. Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer. But this is a different animal. They've been through the Big Ten. They understand the grind. There were times towards the end of the season where I thought those guys hit what we call the mental wall, meaning they were there physically, but mentally at times they look a little bit, you know, cashed out, checked out. And it's not they did that on purpose. You just get that way as a freshman. It's hard to have duration and stamina in the college game, 30-something games after you come out of high school. Those kids have been great. I just don't see them getting Purdue to the Final Four. Even though they have Zach Edey, freshman guards collectively normally don't carry a team to a Final Four.
No. Veteran guards always have had that sway, and of course, University of Houston had that coming in. Well, they had it coming into the conference tournament with Sasser and with Shedd. Sasser doesn't sound like he's going to be ready to go now, and we'll have to see in the future, but Kelvin Sampson's team, thrives on defense. And, of course, they got deep last year without having Sasser there as well. What do you see from Houston this year? It is a team that's had a, you know, they've had a target on their back. No one is surprised by Houston anymore. And it's been a little tougher go. They've had a little closer calls, even in some wins this year.
Well, a couple of things. I just did Villanova and Liberty in the NIT, and Villanova didn't have Justin Moore, which is, you know, a Mark Sasser for them. They still have their system. Houston, they still have their way. That's not going to change. But what does change is the swag and the confidence sometimes of a team without their best player, who happens to be maybe their best leader and their toughest guy. He brings them confidence and swag. Though Houston already has that built in by Kelvin. But I just think the system is going to continue to win. I think you have a greater chance if he's on the court, because I think when other players see him in the game and opponents see him, you know, they scout differently, right? They defend you differently because he's on the court. And offensively, you feel more comfortable. You feel more confident knowing your star is there. May not get the same productivity level, but his presence being there can be a huge difference to Houston. Not so much in the first game. I think they'll take care of business in the first game, that potential second game.
Where do you see Sasser in the NBA? Where do you see him in the draft?
Well, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of people like him, and some people are still, you know, unsure in terms of, like, his impact in the draft. One thing about him, and you guys mentioned this about Walker, and Tom Thibodeau, I played for Tom in the Division III a long time ago. They like guys like Sasser. They like guys like Walker because they see those as guys that are just different in the draft. They're guys that can get the job done, doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter, like, what their reputation is. And so when you're looking at Houston guys, you're looking at guys that the NBA says, sometimes, you know, it doesn't look like a pro, doesn't really, you know, come off like a Brandon Miller, but he's a guy who can get the job done. And I think that's where he kind of fits in this draft. Where he goes numbers-wise, I'm not quite sure on that. What are you guys hearing? Because I get different reports on that.
I think it's I was reading probably more late first if he sneaks into the first.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you late first, early second.
Yeah.
Haven't got a lot of intel on that. But I will tell you this. Again, him like Walker. Walker's a little different beast. But guys like him, guys that the NBA looks at, certain teams say, he doesn't look the part, but he gets the job done. And I think a lot of those guys end up, you know, late in the first round, early in the second.
Paul, quick question before we let you go. From a skill standpoint, because you recruit as well, so a lot of the players we're going to watch in the tournament are going to be, the best players are going to be one-and-done type players, or at least a lot of them. Actually, some of them aren't even the best players on their team, but they're going to be one-and-done, and they're going to be projected higher. And that's why teams like the Rockets, who draft early all the time, end up with really, really young players, and you have a difficult time finding that leadership when you're a team full of young guys. Are you based on what you've seen from a recruiting standpoint, when guys are coming into college and they're only getting 1 year, are we still seeing some of the same coaching elements in high school basketball, or has the development really been taken over by AAU? Are we still seeing the big-time programs develop players from, you know, their freshman year up to their senior year? Are we still seeing that, or is it really turning into the offseason?
No, we're still seeing it in high school. I mean, just go back to the draft the year before. Chet Holmgren stayed at his same high school for years. Now, Cade Cunningham, he ended up, and Cade Cunningham as well. I mean, Cade was at Montverde Academy, which is the top five team in high school every year. Chet Holmgren came out of Minnesota. I mean, guys are still, the Mobley twins stayed out in California at high school and got their development. I think it's a combination, guys. When guys are at certain high schools and they stay there for 4 years and they play AAU, those are the guys that, you know, got developed at both arenas. Sometimes I see a lot of high school guys go from high school to high school to high school, and then they play club basketball. I would probably give the club basketball more of a nod because they don't change club teams as much as they change high school teams for some reason. But there's a lot of great high schools that do excellent job in terms of player development and building the team around that player, just like Purdue builds around Zach Edey. We talked about that earlier. So there's some great high school coaches and some really great high school programs throughout the country.
Paul Biancardi, before you go, you watch as much or more college basketball than anybody to watch these players. Who's in your Final Four?
My Final Four is Alabama, Marquette, Texas, Gonzaga, and I have Gonzaga winning the national championship coming out as a 3-seed.
That would be different than any other year ever.
Well, because Gonzaga...
I like to be different.
You know, Gonzaga, it would just be interesting to see if they could get over that hump, because they have had better teams
that didn't
theoretically that didn't get there. So that would be the interesting one. And Texas is one of those teams. We had 5-star on yesterday. Yeah. They're starting to get hot at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, there's a story you can dig around on it. Apparently Texas played University of Houston in a little scrimmage before the season started, just real quiet behind the scenes, and Houston demolished them.
Yeah.
And since that time, Texas has really, you know, Texas thought, Chris Beard thought it would be great for them to take on a mentally tough team and a great defensive team like Houston. That was probably one of those things that really helped them in ways that people don't even understand.
And absolutely. And the team and the program is so different than what it was. And it's a good lesson early in the season. The one thing about being hot, just being in the NCAA tournament, coming from conference tournaments, it's great to be hot because it gives you confidence. But this is a whole new season. And I try to tell everyone, the regular season is one season. It's a long grind, right? You have your non-conference and all your conference games to see who finishes first, second, third, fourth, and so forth. Then you cash that in. You got a couple of days. Now we're all going to put you in a big arena, and you're all going to go at it like a Royal Rumble in the WWE, right? Everyone's going at each other in the conference tournament. Okay, that's over. Now you're going to play a team you've never seen, never played against, probably. Maybe a style of play that's different. Players that your players have not guarded. Like when you guard in the American Athletic Conference or the Big Ten, you know what to expect. You know what the coaches are going to run. You know the tendencies of the players. Short preparation time, and even a shorter preparation time on the second game. That's what makes it so exciting. That's what makes March Madness so many upsets. So coming in hot to me is good, but it's not one of the biggest factors I look at. I look at the body of work and what they can bring to the NCAA tournament. The matchups are so huge. How do you match up with that team? Do you have enough on your bench and in your starting five to match up with what they do? And I just like Gonzaga after, quote-unquote, having a down year, right? I think one of you guys said, or a different year, that they went 26-5. They didn't look as dominant as we've grown accustomed to in the past. But I'll tell you what, they've taken care of business all season long for the most part. I think they're one of the most consistent teams, and you need consistency when you get to this tournament.
Absolutely. And Texas, I mean, everybody in the Big 12 is battle-tested, that's for sure. That was a war this year. That was a war.
And it was. And I think Texas, Rodney Terry, you know, they're playing with great purpose. With Terry as the interim coach, he should be named head coach. He's earned that tag. The conference was outstanding. But again, you just need one good team from one good conference. Look at last year in the ACC. Everyone said the ACC was down. Duke and Carolina got to the Final Four. Carolina played for the national championship. There were 15 points at halftime, and everyone said, well, the ACC was down last year. Theoretically, you think that the Big 12 should have, you know, teams all in the Elite Eight and Final Four. It doesn't work that way either. It's who gets hot now is what matters.
Right. Paul Biancardi, at Paul Biancardi on Twitter. Hey, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your time. We know you're busy. Thanks for joining us this morning, Paul.
Oh, thank you guys for having me very much.
All right. There's Paul Biancardi with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There was no jab at the rest of the teams, but Gonzaga's going to win it.
No, and if Paul has a website that he wants to kick up to the next level, how about Site Jab? Maybe he already has one that's really good. I don't know. But it's amazing how many companies I see out there. I just saw one. Golly, who was I? Oh, it was a music venue. So a really big music venue here in Houston. Well, not really big, but a big music venue here. I was looking at concerts that were coming, and this website sucked. It was not good. And all I could think of was, how is there a company who is in competition with other people? Why would they, like, have such a bad website? Listen, they'll work with your budget. Sitejab's going to work with the budget for what you're looking for and what you need. Some people just need something very basic. Some people need a website that they can do their own, you know, changing because there's different venues. And I mean, there's different events coming, like a concert venue. And some people want to have a website that is extremely well done and that has the ability to function and interact with an e-commerce source that you can sign up directly for business. I mean, different businesses have different needs, but Sitejab is going to offer the solution for all of them, whether it's building a website from the ground floor up or taking over a massive bit of the digital world for you, where they can handle brand management, logo design. They can shoot videos, professional video shots, and, of course, building out that website and so much more. Go to Sitejab.com to find out what they are all about, Sitejab.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're actually up against it. We had Paul Bingham. He's pretty good. That was a good get there, RJ. Nice
Paul's
job.
Paul's really good.
Really good. Really good. We haven't touched on Ja Morant. So Ja Morant sat down with Jalen Rose. The NBA came down with an 8-game suspension.
He's lucky it's not the full season, the rest of the season.
He met with Adam Silver. So, you know, he said all the right things about, you know.
This is a softball interview that was allowed. He did this immediately after meeting with Silver. ESPN threw out a player-friendly guy who asked player-friendly questions, and he allowed Ja Morant, look, you've made mistakes in your life. I've made mistakes. Rarely, if you're out of control as a person, you don't figure things out in like 2 weeks.
No.
That's not the way it works.
This
you don't go to counseling and say, you know what? I've been in counseling for 2 days.
If I was a pro when I was Ja Morant's age, I would be Ja Morant. Okay?
Right.
I would have all kinds of different issues. Not so much pulling a gun on somebody, but I would have been in nightclubs.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you see the picture?
PIs. I would have had a bunch of public intoxication. You know what? I am not going to.
But a team would have had. But a team would have had major issues with you too.
Yes.
And you probably wouldn't have gotten signed.
No,
anyway.
It would have been. It would have been. You know, John, you're partying. You know, way too much. Okay, and I'm not a gun guy, so it wouldn't have been that. You know, I would have been. You know, probably. I would have been Johnny Manziel, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
And Johnny Manziel was out of, and then you eventually would have been out of.
Without the quarterback talent.
Yeah. But you would have been out of the league quickly.
So, but Ja, it's interesting. He did say, the gun wasn't mine. I take full responsibility for my actions, blah, blah, blah. Playing to myself.
Was it? Somebody else's.
It was somebody else's.
I was just holding somebody else's gun.
But then when he was asked, about all the other incidents that have taken place, all the other stuff that's happened. Here's his response.
I feel like in the past we didn't know what was at stake. And now, you know, finally me having that time to, you know, realize everything, have that time alone, I realize that now. I realize, you know, what I have to lose. You know, I can't wait to be back out there on the floor now, you know, knowing what my punishment is. And, you know, I accept that. And, you know, I feel like I deserve, you know, that punishment for, you know, my mistakes and, you know, what I did. But when I get back out there, you know, I'm going to be ready to go and ready, you know, push for a ring.
So, I feel like we put ourselves in that situation with our past mistakes. And now it's only right that we focus in and lock in on being smarter and more responsible, holding each other accountable for everything. Who's the we?
Him and his crew.
Wait a minute.
We aren't accountable or responsible for anything. Ja is. And Ja, if they don't do a better job, well, okay, in this sense, Ja's not cutting any of his boys out. So if that's the case, they've got to be even better than him. He can't be holding them accountable. They have to make sure, at the worst case scenario, they hold him accountable.
This is like the Michael Vick situation. When Michael Vick was getting on a plane and he had the water bottle that had the weed screwed into the bottom, mm-hmm. you know, and Mike's carrying it. Hey, that's what your boys are for. You know what? They're all hangers on. They're not the ones.
I don't think that's the accountability that they were talking about,
but
John.
I'm not sure that
Adam Silver goes, yes, John, exactly. Let the gun guy carry the gun and the weed guy carry the weed.
That's exactly.
When you beat up the teenager.
He's got a bad crew. Ja's taking the heat here when Ja needs to be the one. They should all be taking the heat.
So you know what the rumor was with James, right? And this comes from this. A lot of people already know this. When Moses Malone Jr. got beat up, James was directing it, but it was on somebody else's phone. It was a FaceTime from a phone. So James wasn't doing it.
No.
James was on a phone, but it was somebody else's phone, so there was no phone call to James. And the rumor is James is on FaceTime saying, okay, now do this to him, do that to him, this, that, and the other.
See,
James understood, I'm not going to get my hands directly tied to them.
I'm tied to those guys in that I know them.
Accountability.
But I had nothing to do with it.
There's probably some guys.
I know a guy who's a concierge for the guys, for the NBA players. Mm-hmm. You're going to fly a girl up, it ain't going to be on my credit card.
Right.
It's going to be on his credit card.
Right.
Okay? I got no
account. Once again, I'm not sure if this is what Adam Silver was referring to as the accountability.
But this is the way you do it. His crew, it's like their rookie year.
So when you want to pull a gun.
You haven't learned anything from
being in the league. How do you do this then, Commissioner Silver? So if you want to pull a laser-pointed scope on the opposing team's personnel, who's got to do that if it's not
Ja? Ja ain't in the car when that's happening.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Okay. Ja ain't around it.
Okay, gun at strip club. You got $50,000 in cash laying around the club.
Literally,
and you've got
spread
the gun
all over the club.
Now, Ja said it wasn't my gun.
But Ja did.
I mean, the whole interview was.
Wait, Ja's on Facebook Live or whatever with a gun talking about it, being wasted with a gun.
Well, you know, he beat up a high school kid.
Yeah, I know.
Came and flexed
on
a mall cop.
And he also threatened a security guard at a mall.
It's just the whole thing is not good. Ja doesn't figure everything out in this amount of days.
Maybe
he knows his money is at stake, and this is what this was.
He's like,
but that's why I would have rather have not seen this right now. It's so contrived. Let him actually have time working at a facility, figuring out what is going on. You know, a guy who's good friends with me, and I can say this, he's put it out there publicly, our old friend Chives. Chives was it's not his real name, but he's called the show for years. And Chives had to go to rehab because he was about to kill himself with alcohol. Just really, really, really bad physical ailments in hospitals. And it was really, really bad, mentally, psychologically, everything. And he went there, and it took a while, and he's like a different guy now. I mean, I'm so proud of him, and I'm going to go when he speaks on March 27th.
That's Ja now?
Well, what I'm telling you is it takes time.
Well, Ja's been – right. He's been in a rehab place for
it's a behavior counseling center.
Right.
We don't know what his issues
– Did you hear what's changed?
Okay,
He just said
– No, did you hear Mark Spears –
Mark Spears said he was out for the year, but he's –
Mark Spears said, oh, my gosh, I don't want to say what's going on with Ja, but it is not good.
Bad.
Mark Spears painted a much worse picture.
Maybe this woke him up.
Well, it could have woke him up, but you don't get fixed for behavioral issues in a week.
Well, maybe.
Hey, no,
maybe
this woke him up. There's not maybe.
Did you hear him?
Therapists will tell you.
We got to be accountable.
Yeah, we got to be accountable. That, you know what?
Me and
you
my
need
boys.
A lot longer what? If you have psychological issues. You need a lot longer for therapy for that.
We got to break it here. When we come back, we haven't even touched on Jalen Carter.
It was just a PR move.
Speaking of problems, Jalen Carter's got some problems. And if you've got problems with plumbing issues, if you are this is more aimed at roofers. This is more aimed at management companies, more aimed at plumbers. You're the guys that are called immediately, a roofer. You got a leak in your roof. Oh, my God, water's come in. It's destroying it. You got to fix the roof. Well, roofers, how are you going to help the people that you just fixed their roof? Management companies, you have damage to your apartment complex. You have damage to the houses that you are managing. How are you going to get that water out? How are you going to fix that damage? Plumbers, you got leaks like my house. You know who... Aqueduct Plumbing called the first one, Resto Pros. They're unbelievable. They're awesome.
You people, you have got to have somebody that's going to come and restore whatever it is, the issues, the water damage, roof leak, storm damage, water extraction, removal of wet materials, dry and stabilize the environment. If they have fungus, you got to help that. RestoPros does all of that. You need somebody that's going to come. They were awesome with me. They helped with the insurance. They were the best. RestoPros are the best. 975restoration.com. You have any kind of an issue, water extraction or whatnot, 975restoration.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.